Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. More with John Canzano, the Bald-Faced Truth.
I just told Gliss, the producer of the show, let's go big with Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather stuff. Maybe starting next week or certainly the week after. Darren Rovell, who I think is the best talking sports and business together in the same sentence, the best that I have seen do it and heard do it, is joining us now. ESPN sports business reporter. Where are you today, Darren Rovell?
I'm actually back home in New Jersey after I actually took an hour nap, which was probably, I do a nap maybe twice a year. That's how exhausted I am from this week. I'm back in New Jersey.
Why this week more than other weeks do you need a nap?
I just did, the travel wasn't that great. Didn't work out well for me. I did MLB All-Star. I feel like the heat in Miami pounded me. I was walking around in a suit for a day and a half. And it didn't help, by the way. I know this is first world problems, and I'd never take to Twitter on it. But, you know, the fact that the Marlins ownership doesn't care about anything, and, like, you know, they let you in at 2 p.m. day of All-Star game, and it's like 110 degrees with the heat index, and it's like, it says no drinks until 4 o'clock, and you get in at 2 o'clock, and you're like, what? You can't turn on the soda fountain for me? So I think, you know, between that and then just been a busy day yesterday in the city and waiting for Mayweather and McGregor, you know, just everything. I got home at midnight, 1 o'clock, woke up at 4:50. So, you know, just busy.
Let's start with Mayweather McGregor, because I think it's interesting. What is this going to do for boxing? What does this do for sports, this event?
Nothing for boxing and nothing for the MMA, for UFC. I really don't. I mean, this is likely going to be a spectacle. I don't think that Conor's going to try anything crazy, though. Just the fact that he has to essentially untrain himself not to kick when he punches, that's like the most intriguing thing to me. I mean, are you going to put a weight in your shoe? It's very, and they did confirm yesterday. Steven Espinosa of Showtime did say that there would be a very significant financial penalty, you know, if he tried anything, any type of move that's a non-boxing move. And I think Dana White said that, you know, even though Mayweather's at the end of his career, he would just be basically sued if he did anything crazy by Mayweather. So I think this is a spectacle. I think it is going to break the pay-per-view record from Mayweather-Pacquiao. I think it's going to tie or break the gate record. I think it's going to break the boxing sponsorship record. I think it's a fight that the only way you're not, everyone's watching it. The only way you're not paying for it is, you know, to find an illegal stream. But on August 26th, as many people who know that the Super Bowl is on that first week in February are going to know that this fight is on, and they're going to watch. And there's very low expectations, but I think as humans, as sports fans, you feel like you have to be there.
I automatically go to, okay, how will they figure out a rematch? Because there's just too much money involved in this. Am I crazy for thinking that way?
Nope. I mean, like, you know, Floyd just has to win. The longer he can get it to go and the more people think Conor has a chance, the more for a rematch, the more likely it is that there would be a rematch. And, you know, I think that's probably a natural thing. Floyd says this is his last fight, but then again, we know he has some tax issues, which is crazy. And, you know, the layers to this type of story, even for me, I mean, just surreal that the crowd in Brooklyn yesterday is chanting, "Pay your taxes." And I never thought that any type of sporting event would be the chant, but it was. And You know, and no one loves money more than Floyd Mayweather, number one, and Conor McGregor, number two. And this is about money and talking about money and, you know, stories of guys whose careers have revolved around money and no money. I mean, McGregor, you know, 4.5 years transplanted from accepting a $230 welfare check in Ireland.
How do these guys end up with tax problems? Have you figured that out yet? Or, I mean, is it just they're making so much money that they're not paying attention to what they owe?
Generally, I think it's they surround themselves with not the best people. I mean, they don't need to pay attention to what they owe if they know someone who knows what they owe. I mean, yeah. But it seems like Floyd doesn't know how taxes work. I mean, his response to that there was a lien for $22.2 million of taxes in 2015 was, I already paid 26.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But you made about $260 million. You know, conservatively, you had $90 million in taxes to pay. So I'm not sure where you are, but it doesn't seem like you understand how taxes work.
ESPN business reporter Darren Revelle with us. Lonzo Ball has been interesting. I know it's been all over your Twitter feed, but when he comes out wearing the Nike shoes and has the triple-double or scores 36 and 11, and is he jeopardized? Should he have a sneaker deal already? I mean, is that something that will he never recoup that money?
Oh, he will. I don't think that's lost. The one time that he doesn't recoup his money is under this scenario. This is what I believe the numbers were. I believe that he was offered in the range of a 5-year, $10 million deal by the Adidas's, Nike's, Under Armour's of the world. I think once it was clear that the Lakers were going to pick him number two and the Lakers got that number two pick, I think that went up to as much as, you know, maybe $15 million. The only way he doesn't recoup that money is if he's not good at all, which I clearly don't think is the case. I have often advocated for some of these rookies to take a risk and not sign a long-term deal if they believed in themselves. And essentially that's what he's done, although obviously it's for the big baller brand. But again, the twists and turns and complexity of this story, who would have thought that 3 games in, you would start auditioning other shoes? And I don't think by accident. I think it is all premeditated. I think, you know, his next game he could come out with the Under Armour Steph Curry. I don't know if that's good overall for the big baller brand, but you know, I still think he can get the deal or a greater deal than he would have gotten before.
His dad has, a lot of people, myself included, are just nauseated hearing from dad, but clearly his profile's been raised, even with the negativity by it. Is dad a good ambassador for the brand, or do you, as a business guy, go, man, if he would just be quiet and Lonzo plays, he's worth more?
No. LeVar, from a business standpoint, LeVar's amazing. I'm not going to evaluate how he is as a father and putting pressure on his son and that kind of thing. I mean, not that I'm a cold person, but what I do is evaluate capitalists, and he's really good at getting attention. I mean, he is skilled. And by the way, what also makes him is the hate that people have for him. Yeah. I mean, any time I write about LeVar Ball, the anger towards him, there is more anger towards LeVar Ball now than there's anger towards LeBron or KD. There's more anger towards LeVar Ball than Gordon Hayward in Utah or Paul George in Indiana. LeVar Ball is just this lightning rod, and in the social media world, that's worth money.
Darren Revelle, ESPN business reporter, mixes sports and business, does it well. FanDuel and DraftKings, they tried, and FanDuel eventually backing out. This a head-scratcher for you, why they even thought they could get away with this?
Yeah, it makes no sense. I mean, you own 90% of the market, and I guess Yahoo could be competitors. Well, they're not. They didn't play in the daily fantasy business. You know, the true money in here now, if you're an investor, is that if you believe that gambling is going to be legal, sports gambling will be legal in this country in 5 years, those guys have the databases and they have the back end analytics and back-end software to basically run that system and compete with the gaming industry, the Caesars Palaces and the guys that are and the MGMs and the Cantor Gamings to come up with the best kind of platform. And that's where the money is, because obviously it's not the business it once was when they were ramming a commercial down our throat every 2 seconds.
Portland would love to get another major league team here, and the NFL feels like a pipe dream. NHL would work. Major League Baseball is interesting. They've had the tribal casinos offer to subsidize a stadium and build a stadium. The city has been unwilling to do that. How would baseball feel about, a gambling entity building a stadium that a potential team that was looking to move 5 or 10 years from now would move to? Do you think the paradigm is shifting towards the acceptance of gambling with Fantasy League, or no?
It depends on how much that gambling institution expects to get back and whether that's in the stadium or not. If it's in-stadium advertising, then I think it's totally fine. If it's betting kiosks within the venue, I don't think that's going to fly. But money is getting harder and harder to get, I guess, until the Vegas Raiders got that ridiculous deal. But, and by the way, now that the numbers have come out for the expansion and the relocation, that these guys are paying $675 and $378 each. You think any NFL owner would have fought for the cities to remain where they were? I mean, it's a joke.
Darren Revelle with us. Before I cut you loose, you're at the All-Star game. You tweeted out the numbers of the viewers for the Home Run Derby and the game. Looks like that Home Run Derby may be the most popular thing baseball's got going.
Yeah, I think it outrated the Pro Bowl. I mean, I know the Pro Bowl's not anything great, but it is football. It is baseball beating football. Unfortunately, I think the next day, the All-Star game undid everything that was great. I mean, they really did some nice things. I like the head-to-head. I like the distance giving you a timeout. I like the fact that it wasn't outs and it was time. There was just two guys taking too many balls the last time. They made some really nice tweaks. I mean, better tweaks than the NBA's made with the dunk contest. I give them a lot of credit, but man, they got to get those pitch clocks going now by the end of the year, because, baseball at 3 hours and 7 minutes average game, it's not going to make it. It's not going to make it.
You collect checks from interesting transactions for famous people. What have you collected lately that is interesting?
I lost something got me angry.
What happened?
I lost a 1986 Mike Tyson fight check. I had never seen a fight check before from Tyson. And it was against Marvis Frazier. I think it was one of his 40-second fights. And it's for $75,000. It had nice writing on it, like it deducted the $5,000 advance they gave him. It was a really nice check. And, part of this is knowing when to stop. And I was at like 600 and the guy wanted 1,000. And I said, I'm out. Don't know if he sold it to anyone, but I passed.
But you're thinking about
it really now. Really nice check, though.
You're thinking about it right now. You might circle back.
Yeah, I might. I mean, hopefully he's not listening. Hopefully he's not in Portland.
Yeah.
It's a cool little thing, and I like doing it. Luckily, I like reporting on the collecting industry, and that even gets my Jones going instead of spending money. And
yeah,
what's going on right now with Aaron Judge is just insanity.
I heard from a guy, we did a thing on Monday on the show where I said, all right, call in and tell me something you've done that nobody else has done, right? Nobody else that's going to call in is going to say they all have also done. And a guy called in, he was a kid, and the Blazers won the championship in 77. He went to the parade, and Bill Walton, during the parade, is riding in the back of a convertible, throws the game ball into the crowd, like just launches it into the crowd, and the kid that caught the ball calls in and says, I have the basketball. I have the ball that Walton threw into the crowd. I mean, what a cool little memento as a kid.
That's a cool item. I I have like, someone says, what's the, you know, I'm a Northwestern, crazy Northwestern fan. That's the only team that I root for, you know, now basketball more football, but then obviously basketball's gotten more interesting, though I'd probably watch 95% of basketball when we were horrible. My weirdest item I have two very weird items. I have Darnell Autry's final class schedule, which he did when he turned pro. He went to the registrar, and I just, for some reason, I was right in front of him, and they called my name and his name, and he knew he wasn't taking classes, so he just left it, and they called his name, and I picked up his schedule. I have that. And the other one I have is when Pat Fitzgerald became the all-time winningest football coach at Northwestern, at some point during the game, he was very angry, and he slammed down the headset, and he broke the headset, and I have the broken headset from when he became the, you know. So, couple weird items. No teeth or any body parts or anything like that.
Nothing crazy like that. Darren Revelle, you're the best. He's a great follow on Twitter. Thank you for making time for us, as always.
Anytime for you.
All right. Darren Revelle, ESPN Sports Business Reporter. What do you have in your collection? I've got a friend who has a Keely Smith's mouthpiece. It's true. Keely Smith, after a game, threw it into the crowd. Kid caught it, kept it, put it in a Ziploc bag, and attached it to his wall. No, he doesn't walk around wearing it, I don't think. What weird item have you collected? 503-417-7575. I mentioned Michael Jordan's final game when he was playing for the Washington Wizards. This is a regret I have. So Jordan was playing for the Wizards, playing his final game in Portland, and he was kind of doing the farewell tour thing. And as he left the court at what was then the Rose Garden Arena, he came through the tunnel towards the visiting locker room, and I was in the tunnel. And Jordan came through the tunnel, and he had gum in his mouth. And he took the chewing gum, and he stuck it on the side of the trash can as he came through the tunnel. And I looked at it just for just a half a second, like, how weird would it be for me to grab the chewing gum that Jordan had in his mouth, stick it in a Ziploc bag, and be like, hey, I got Jordan's chewing gum. But I thought better of it, and I thought, that's a weird thing for me to, there's a weird thing for me to grab. That would be weird. But, like, what do you have in your collection that you go, man, this is a little weird, but come on and share it. This is a safe place. Do you have Chip Kelly's visor? Share it. Joe's in Oregon City. The number's 503-417-7575. Joe, what do you have?
Well, this isn't exactly a sports-related collection, but since this is such a kid-friendly program,
yeah,
I thought you'd get a kick out of it. My oldest daughter, who's about 37 now, when she lost her first tooth, she did like a lot of kids did, put it under her pillow for the tooth fairy, and she got 50 cents. Well, she wasn't too thrilled with that because she knew that that wasn't the going rate, and she thought that tooth fairy was too cheap, so she kept every single one of her teeth as they fell out and never put another tooth under her pillow.
That's what the tooth fairy gets when the tooth fairy's cheap, Joe, in Oregon City. You get a kid who's collecting teeth. She's probably a commodities broker now. Mike's in Beaverton. Mike, what do you have?
I have something that I thought was really rare, and then it turned out not to be really rare. So I was cleaning out a couple of drawers a couple of years ago, and I opened up this folded up piece of paper, and it was a mimeograph stat sheet from a Blazer-Laker game. And I thought to myself, why did I keep this? I remember going to the game, but why did I keep it? I turned it over, and on the back, Wilt Chamberlain's autograph.
Wow. See, that's something.
And that's what I thought. I go, wow, this is something. And I went to see how much it might be worth just because. It's worth about $5 because Wilt Chamberlain signed everything.
Yeah, you know, he did a lot of things, that Wilt Chamberlain. A lot of Wilt Chamberlain spread around. Michael's in Beaverton. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, John. So, It's not what I have, but it's what I could have had.
Okay.
So about 10 years or so ago, I was working at a local golf course here in the Portland area. And, you know, it's early morning, summertime, and this limo pulls up. and out of the limo pops Tiger Woods. And so he apparently was on the course for a few hours testing out some new clubs for Nike, gets done. I see him pull up in his cart. He's heading out. I grab the cart to move the cart around to where we got to take it when he's done. In the back little basket of the cart is his sweater. And I had the sweater in my hand, thought about keeping it, really thought about keeping it, and ended up tracking his people down and handed it back to him.
That was the right thing to do, because what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Right.
Yeah, frame it, be like, I got his sweater. What, did you date him? You know,
right,
it's
right.
Like, Michael in Beaverton, you're honest person. Thank you for sharing that. What do you have? What did you collect that may be a little off the wall? 503-417-7575. Plus, McGregor-Mayweather talk next.
Something is about to happen.
BFT.
Now listen up, everyone.
Let's go. The bald-faced truth.
John Canzano.
I gotta say, I love him most of the time. I think he's right on.
He's okay.
John's great.
He's a little unusual.
Live every afternoon, 12 to 3 p.m.
I hate that guy because he just never knows what he's talking about.
I think he does a damn good job.
That's my dude, man. Yeah, I know him, man. I let my mother listen to him.
Now, from the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
This Mayweather-McGregor thing, it's got some staying power. I know it's not real sport, okay? It's like when we're sitting around and we ask which animal is going to beat which animal if they go into an elevator together. What do you got, the crocodile or the snake? You have the elephant or the giraffe? You take a jaguar or do you take a rhino? It's why we watch like those National Geographic things on YouTube. Everybody wants to see this. Mainstream America wants to see this fight. Floyd Mayweather is 49-0. He is one of the best defensive boxers ever. Conor McGregor has never fought in a professional boxing match. And August 26th will be his first fight as a boxer. And the promotions people understand that this is not about real competition in a real sporting event. In the BFT jury segment, we will kick this around here momentarily. But I want to set this up by talking about whether or not this is... Well, let me hear it for yourself. Floyd Mayweather, you get the first blow.
I ain't back down for nobody. You light him up and I knock him down like bowling pins. And August 26th, I'm going to knock this bitch out too.
Floyd Mayweather talking. Here's more.
And I'm guaranteeing you this. You going out on your face or you going out on your back? Now, which way you want to go? Which way you want to go? That's right. Sit quiet, you little
Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, everybody weighing in on this. Dana White weighing in on this.
Floyd, traditionally, if you want to say there's ever been a kink in the armor with that kid, it's with southpaws. And Conor McGregor is an absolute knockout artist. When he hits you, you go. So it's part of the fun of this fight. Is Conor McGregor in a 12-round fight going to be able to touch Floyd Mayweather?
There it is. And Bill Reeder of CBS Sports Radio, he also thinks McGregor's got a shot if...
We do know he's got a lot better chin than people expect, and than Mayweather's probably used to, because he's also getting shot in the face in the UFC time and again. So if he can handle a little bit of Mayweather's counterpunching and abuses, yeah, like... McGregor getting really aggressive and getting in there, I think it ups his odds to get lucky and to bring out that puncher's chance opportunity.
Puncher's chance opportunity. How about Mike Tyson weighing in on boxing? Mayweather, McGregor.
That sounds so ridiculous, but I'm going to watch it. Conor don't stand a chance boxing with Floyd. With an MMA fight, you got to use all of your skills. You got to do your legs, your knees, your elbows. And in boxing, you just use your hand. And I think Floyd's going to just be more superior with the hands.
It's, you got to use your earlobes. You got to use, oh, sorry. You don't use your earlobes, use your teeth. Like in boxing, you're only supposed to punch. But Mike, for Mike Tyson to say that in, oh, it's ridiculous. Like, I get what he's saying, and I agree with him. But for this is where the whole thing falls apart for me.
That sounds so ridiculous, but I'm going to watch it. Conor don't stand a chance boxing with Floyd. With an MMA fight, you got to use all of your skills. You got to do your legs, your knees, your elbows. And in boxing, you just use your hand.
Also, you can bite the guy's ear off if things aren't going your way. Like, Tyson left that part out. Everybody's saying the same thing. That they will watch. It's not, hey, I'm going to win this thing or lose this thing, but that they're watch. How about Kevin Ioli?
MMA fighters have to defend way more things than boxers. So they can hit more than a boxer because they're not in the perfect position to defend. So that doesn't mean that they're not good athletes or they're not good fighters. It means that they are in a different sport than boxing. And Mayweather has been doing this all his life, and he's going to destroy McGregor because he is the best there is at it, and McGregor is just starting out.
All right, so here's my question for you. I think you're going to watch this. I think, like, the Super Bowl, people will throw parties. They will have the game on. You'll go out to places where the pay-per-view is. It will break records. And millions of Americans will watch it. But this McGregor-Mayweather fight, is it built on true sport? Meaning, in true sport, we're looking for man versus himself or man versus the other man. Or is it totally built on hype and the Kardashian fame, and also the idea that the promotion of this fight is all about, hey, let's throw a ridiculous event together and get these guys into the ring. What I'm asking you is, are you buying this as real sport or is it spectacle? 503-417-7575. It's the subject of our BFT jury.
Spanning the city in search of sports fans willing to explore the constant variety of sports and opinion. These sports freaks are prepared to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the bald-faced truth.
What are you going to say?
This isn't 12 angry men stuck in a jury room. It's Boulder.
Kindly address this court as your honor.
What are you Welcome to the Bald-Faced Truth Jury.
I want to know what my producer is going to say about this. Is it sport or spectacle? What are you going to say?
It's a spectacle.
Why?
Because, I mean, you're taking two guys from different sports, essentially. Of course I'm going to watch it, but, I mean, it's guys from two totally different sports. So I don't really see how, I mean, it's like taking, you know, a basketball player and a baseball player and putting them through all kinds of different.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.